Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read just a few verses of this chapter, and you recognize it as a part of the great Sermon on the Mount. We'll begin reading with verse 1, and may the Lord bless the reading of His blessed word to your hearts tonight. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And I want us to look tonight at two verses of Scripture that suggest to me one of the most heart-searching principles or truths that's taught in the Bible. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, measure for measure. And you'll know in just a moment why we're using this subject. Now in verse 2, Jesus said, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And I want to just impression that we've already read where Jesus said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But for starting place for our message tonight, notice this tremendous statement from the lips of the Lord Jesus, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You know, William Shakespeare wrote 37 wonderful plays and a number of great sonnets, and might have been the greatest dramatist writer of all the history of the world. I do not know, but certainly one of the greatest. But he wrote one of his 37 plays was a play called Measure for Measure. Now Shakespeare is a man that was familiar with the Bible. He used 35 characters out of the Bible, and he quoted from 42 books of the Bible, and many, many subjects and characters and truths in the Bible are referred to repeatedly in the great works of William Shakespeare. But he wrote a play called Measure for Measure. Some of Shakespeare's critics say it's the poorest play that Shakespeare ever wrote, and I think I know why that they say that, because in this play Shakespeare wrote about one of the great truths of the Bible. And it's our text tonight, and this is where Shakespeare got the name for his play. Well, from the words of Jesus, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The Lord is saying here, whatever you give out, that's the way it's coming back to you. And when you come to the last act of Shakespeare's great drama, there are a lot of folks who step out on the stage There are some good people who've been wronged. There are some crooked politicians. There are some lovers who've been disappointed. There are some folks who've been deceived. And when these people gather getting justice, he gets what he measure you meet. So if that shall be measured to you again. Other words, Jesus is saying, just the way you give it out, that's the way it's coming back to you in all phases of a Christian's life. Now, I think, first of all, this is certainly true in the matter of giving. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is the plain teaching of the Bible. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And now hear it, and I'm talking about, at this moment, the matter of giving. The Lord Jesus said, for with the same measure you meet with them, it shall be measured to you again. I'm talking tonight to Christian people that the Lord Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And that the Lord Jesus said, with the same measure you use in giving, that same measure will be used in giving unto you. You know, there are three wonderful things that come to my mind and my heart about the matter of giving and the teaching of the Lord, that with whatever measure you use to give, that's the kind of measure God is going to use to give to you. First of all, I think that a Christian ought to want the divine approval of God upon their life in the matter of giving. You know, the Bible says, give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I believe there's a special favor from God upon the life of a Christian who honors the plain teaching of the Bible and gives of his tithe and his offering to the Lord in his home church and local church. And I believe the Bible teaches that. That's the way God wants his church supported. And when God's people do what the Lord says, then no one would have to resort to a lot of things that churches resort to in order to have their needs met. God has a plan. God has a way. And that is every Christian give proportionately. That is the tithe and the offering unto the Lord. And that brings the divine approval of God upon our life. I don't know how a Christian, and I don't mean to sound a mercenary or selfish, because, you know, when a preacher preaches on tithing, it doesn't mean anything more to him or anything less. It just means that he believes the Bible and he's trying to teach what God says. And God says this is his plan for the support of the work of the gospel. Give and it shall be given unto you. And I believe there's a special blessing of God upon the lives of people who honor the Lord in the matter of giving. I think something else, it means personal happiness to a Christian when they honor the Lord and they give. You know, Jesus said something, if I were not a Christian and I didn't have this Bible here before me tonight, and if I hadn't tried it and experienced it in my own heart and life, the Lord Jesus said something that I think I'd have a hard time swallowing. And that is, he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Lord is quoted as saying, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now that, if I weren't a Christian and I didn't believe this Bible, I'd say, how on earth can it be possible that it's more blessed to turn loose from something than it is to receive it? But I'll tell you, when the Christian tries God and puts God to his word, the Lord proves that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I guess one thing it ought to be said, I believe, you know, that the Lord expects that a Christian should support his own local church, if that church preaches the Bible, if that church honors the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that the Christian in that church has a responsibility to give his tithe and his offering to that church. You know, some folks say, well, the television is my church. And some folks say, I don't need to come to a church place, a church assembly. Well, I'll tell you, when your loved ones die, or when you're sick and in the hospital, call that television person and see if they'll come and bury your loved ones and help you in the time of trouble. I believe God means that a person be a part of a local church. I mean, a church you can see, a church that is tangible and made up of born again, blood washed men and women. And I believe that's the will of God for every Christian to give into that church. And Jesus said, for what measure you meet with them, it shall be measured to you again. I've heard folks say, I can't afford to tithe. I don't know how a Christian can afford not to. I don't know how a Christian can cheat God and rob God and ever live. And I've heard folks say, why, if I gave a tenth of my income to the Lord, why, I'd come up short. No, you wouldn't. You'd come up long. Because God is in this. And I want to tell you, if you just would want to demonstrate it, lay out 10 $1 bills across this platform. And I know I'm talking about money now, but yeah, I'll give God a tip. No, that's not what's taught in the Bible. The tithe is the Lord. It belongs the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. And God's word said, will you rob me? Will you rob God? And men said, well, wherein have we robbed God? And God said, in the tithe and in the offering. Then he said, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing till you shall not be able to receive it. And God has promised to bless the people who give unto the Lord. Well, I remember, and you'll pardon a personal reference, I remember 40 some odd years ago, I don't know exactly how many, at least I think about 46 years ago, when Ms. Malone and I, well, going on 47 years ago it's been, Ms. Malone and I went to a little church up north of here called Leonard, Michigan. I'd like sometime, if I ever get the time, I'd like to just write some experiences I had at Leonard, Michigan. I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest periods in my whole life. They said Leonard, Michigan had been written up before I got there. Had been written up as a community, as far as anyone knew, that had made the least progress in 50 years. There's a little sign that said Village Leonard. Didn't say Leonard, it just said Village Leonard. And on one side it said, welcome, Village Leonard. On the other side, I think the sign said goodbye, because by the time you passed that sign, you were all the way through town. Anyways, a little old bitty place. But I had some of the greatest experiences in that town. There's not enough money in the world to buy them for me. I remember the first night when Ms. Malone and I went to the church, and on a Wednesday night was to be my first sermon. And I thought, why, when people hear that Tom Malone is going to speak here tonight, I wonder where we'll put all the people. But I soon found out where to put them. There was a dear couple, Mr. and Ms. Robert Cascaden, who later became members of this church. And then there were two elderly widowed ladies. Those four, no more. That's all that were there. And Ms. Malone and I made six. So we got right in the middle of the auditorium. And two or three sat on one side and two on the other side. But Brother Cascaden came to me and he said, now, Brother Tom, I'm the treasurer of the church. Well, now, I'm human. Pray for me. My heart beat a little bit faster when he said, I'm the treasurer of the church. And he said, I'm happy to tell you that as long as you are our pastor, you're going to receive $14 a week as your salary. I'd never thought about salary. And in fact, $14 a week sounded pretty good to me. So he handed me a little roll of bills with a rubber band around it. They were all ones rolled up had a rubber band around it. When we got back to the parsonage, no furniture in it. Just two or three pieces of furniture people had brought in, something they couldn't get rid of at the garage sale. And they brought it in. And I unrolled that little roll of money, and I laid it out on the floor. And I told the Lord something. I said, "Lord, I can't live on $14 a week." I soon found out I couldn't heat that big barn on $14 a week. But I said, "I can live from your hand to my mouth. And if you will help me, I'm going to honor you." And from that day to this, I have never failed to have my needs supplied. And I believe God will meet the needs of any Christian who trusts Him enough to honor Him enough to give of your substance unto Him. And so Jesus said, "With whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." That's not only true in the matter of giving, but you know, I believe that as you will be loved, as you love other people. I believe that I can prove that to you from the Bible, that as you love, you will be loved. I've had folks say to me, "Well, you know, I don't have any friends, and no one seems to care about me." Let me tell you, friend, if that's true of you, it's because you have not cared about others enough. Because as you love people, so will you be loved. On that last night of Jesus spent on this earth, He said to the disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And I believe as you love others, that's the way they're going to love you. Love begets love. Even God says something that I never thought much about till I read it this week in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17. God says, "I love them who love me." Now I believe God loves everybody. I believe the Lord Jesus died for everyone in this world, and God loves everyone. But God said, "I love them who love me." And if you want to be loved, you have to love. That's what the Bible teaches. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." I never will forget meeting a dear middle-aged lady out in Binghamton, New York. Years ago, I was speaking there at a Bible conference camp in Binghamton, and there was a lady operating a little concession stand for the Christian camp. And one day I was there getting something, a cold drink, I forget what it was. But anyway, there was this lady, and she looked at me, and she spoke one of the greatest truths I've ever heard. She said, "You know, I'm not very pretty on the outside." And I hadn't paid much attention, but as I looked at her, I thought, "Sister, you really telling the truth now. You know, they say beauty is skin deep. This poor soul was ugly right down to the bone." And she said to me, "You know, I'm not very pretty on the outside." But she said, "Preacher, don't you believe that beauty is really on the inside?" She said, week there, and I'd see folks come, young and old, come to that little concession stand, and oh, the happy expressions on their faces as they talked to this dear lady, and they showed their love to her because she loved them. And I believe you're going to be loved as a Christian as you love others. And I want to tell you, friends, what this whole world needs tonight is to see a church where people are not fighting, and there are not any fighting here. I don't mean to imply that. But this world needs to see that a church can love one another and love them as Jesus said, love them. And I believe that as you love, that's the way you're going to be loved. With whatever measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. It's true in the matter of love. This is true in the matter of service. You know, as you serve, so shall you be served. I believe when a person serves the Lord, and of course, you know, most of what the Bible says about service has to do with what we do one for another. I believe when a person serves the Lord and serves God's people and serves each other, I believe that God's going to see that that service is returned to that person. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And when a Christian has this principle in his life, and the main thing is not for me to be ministered unto, but to minister to the hearts and lives of other people, God is going to minister to that person's heart and life. I've mentioned to you about a fellow I met in August of 1935 during the month I was saved. I doubt if the person in this building ever met him except Miss Malone. His name was Reverend Paul Lupo. He was a senior at Bob Jones College, and he came to the little community where I had just been saved. And he set in on me to take me back with him to Bob Jones College. I said to him, I gave him every excuse in the world. But he was a wonderful Christian, knew the Bible, knew the Lord. And he just flipped my excuses aside just about as fast as I could spit them out. I thought I had the best, that the lines were not straight across, but it running off at the angles and so forth. And then when I read the last page and read the name of Paul Lupo, and the letter said that he had had bad health, that loved ones had died, that great sorrows and disappointments had come. And when I read that letter, I said, oh, my Lord, how much I owe that man. And I took that address, and I wrote to him, and I corresponded with him, and I shared with him, because it was such a blessing to me that a man loved me enough to serve me when I was a new convert and to do something for me when I needed guidance and direction in my life. I said, oh God, help me to return that service unto him. And it's one of the most beautiful periods of my life in corresponding and sharing with this wonderful man. You know, I believe you're going to be served just like you serve. I believe God is going, if this verse be true, and we know that it is, with what measure you meet and measure with, it'll be measured to you again. As you serve, so shall you be served. Do nothing for others, you'll get nothing from them. That's what I'm saying. Jesus said, you're going to get it back, just what you give out in every phase of the Christian life. I believe that you're going to be spoken of as speak. And I believe the Bible plainly teaches this. 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed be not consumed one of another. Now that's what God said. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I will tell you, when a believer assassinates the character of another Christian, this Bible being true, that's going to come home to you. That's what Jesus is saying. As you speak, so shall you be spoken of. Don't ever be happy to hear bad news. Don't ever rejoice in hearing of some Christian's calamity. And don't be quick to judge and say, I thought that was what would happen. And don't be quick to spread bad tales and rumors about people, because it'll come home to you just as sure as the world. I remember a lady years ago, and I always think of her when I think of gossiping and saying things you ought not say. This lady came to me and she said, Pastor, I have a problem. That's right in this church. She said, I have a problem. I said, what is it? She said, well, my problem is that everybody that has some bad story to tell and some garbage to dispose of, and you know how nice I am and how sweet I can be in the time of crisis. And I said, I suppose it must be because you have the largest ear in the church to hear it. And that's true. And I want to tell you, friend, Jesus said, for every idle word man shall speak, he shall be held account of it in the day of judgment. And as you speak, so shall you be spoken of. If there's someone sitting here tonight and saying, well, I'm being maligned, and I'm being persecuted, and I'm being talked about, and there's stories being told about me, stop and think if in your life you haven't handed it out, for maybe tonight you're getting it back. That's what Jesus said. With whatever measure you give it out, with that same measure, it's going to come back to you again. That also is true in the matters of making people happy. You know, you will be as happy as you make other people happy. And I don't believe that a Christian can live in this world and be happy without giving of themselves toward the happiness of other people. I'll give you an illustration. You know, there was a woman lived way back in the Old Testament in a little community called Shunem. And she'd see this prophet of God by the name of Elisha going up and down the road serving the Lord. He was the head of three schools of young preachers, of prophets, three prophet schools, sons of the prophets. And she'd see him going up and down the road. And chapter 4, you'd read that one day she said to her husband, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God. So she would invite him, and she'd see him come down the road. She invited him and to him, and we'll break bread in our house. And so the Bible says that Elisha would stop in his journeys for the Lord. He'd stop in this where this woman and her husband lived with no children. He'd stop in this home and they'd feed him. Then one day she said to her husband, you know, this man of God, he needs a place to rest and a place to be alone. So let's build on the side of our house a little room. And that's where you get the expression, the prophet's chamber. So the husband agreed, and they built a little room. And when Elisha would come, he'd come into the little prophet's chamber. And there was a table and a bed and a chair. One day he said to his helper, Gehazi, he said, go ask that woman, this wonderful woman, who has added to the contentment and happiness of my life. Go ask her if there's anything she would like to have that she doesn't have. She came and stood in the door of the little room, and Elisha and Gehazi were in the room. And Gehazi addressed himself to her and said, the prophet says, ask you, is there anything you don't have you'd like to have? I can imagine how it might have been. I think maybe tears came to her eyes and her lips trembled. And she said, my husband and I have no children. And I'm a barren woman. And I've never been able to have children. And my husband and I would love above all else in the world, we'd love to have a child. And Gehazi went over to the other side of the room, told the prophet of God. And the prophet of God said, go back and tell her this. Tell her that about this time of life, 9 months from now, she's going to bear a child. Oh, she was so excited. She stood in the door and she said, oh, man of God, lie not to me. And the man of God said, no, this is coming to your life. And it did. Why? Because one day she saw another believer and she said, I want to add to his life. I want to make his life happier. And I want my life to mean something to his. And she fed him and placed the room there for his use. And then one day she held in her arms a sweet little baby boy. And she learned the lesson. You'll be as happy as you make others happy. And you know, this is really a very revolutionary statement the Lord Jesus made. With whatever measure you give it out in all areas of your life, with that same measure, it shall be measured to you again. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, this statement in thy word literally staggers us tonight. It makes me think that thy word teaches measure for measure. As we give it out, that's what we'll receive. Oh, blessed God, we ask thee tonight toward others who need us, and give of ourselves at every opportunity we have in this life. Bless these dear people tonight. May we learn from thy word how we can be better servants of God and happier in our own hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Will you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed?